Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest tonight is Noelle Brewer Yates. She is the president of World Help, an international Christian humanitarian organization that works to make wrong things right, to break the cycle of poverty, and engage community-led transformation around the world. She's a speaker and author of Awake, Doing a World of Good, One Person at a Time. And we're going to talk this evening about her new book, which is titled Both, Living Outside the Either-Or of Your Faith. Noelle, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've been involved with this organization since you were a kid, because your dad was the one who started it, right?
He did, yeah. It goes way back. I started traveling with my dad when I was about 12 years old. Now, mm-hmm. that was well before World Help began, mm-hmm. but my dad was involved in this work, so I grew up with it. And then when he started World Help, I was able to work with him from the very beginning. And in about the fall of 2019, he became founder, and I transitioned to president, now leading the organization that he once started.
That's wonderful. Well, my wife and I started an organization in 1991, and my son is the CEO, and I am the founder. So there you go.
We could have a whole conversation about that sometime.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful thing when we're able to pass a baton to someone who knows which direction to run in.
It is. That's great.
I'm grateful for your dad and his work, and I'm grateful for you and your work. And I'd like for you to share, though, with our listeners, why did you write Both?
Well, starting where we were, I did grow up in this. I was mm-hmm. exposed to quote-unquote missions work from a very early age. Like I said, I went with my dad for the first time when I was 12 years old. I'm forever grateful to my dad for that gift he gave me. You know, he didn't just tell me how to live. He showed me, and he literally took me on the journey with him. And because of that, I was really exposed to the needs of the world in a unique way at a very early age. And it really shaped my views on that. I was always very passionate. I come from a long line of people in ministry and involved in missions, missionaries, and I have a deep respect for all of that. Mm-hmm. But after being in it all that time and seeing the real work, you know, that was going on day to day on the ground that we were involved with, I found myself as an adult just a little unsettled and kind of questioning my life's work and questioning that little word, missions. And no longer could I really find the work that I was so passionate about in that word. I felt like in Christian circles, the word had been hijacked in some way. And I started to believe that, you know, one of the greatest tragedies that I see in Christianity today is this belief that a person's spiritual condition is all that matters to God, that saving souls for heaven is more important than bringing God's kingdom to life here on earth, that Jesus somehow cared more about salvation counts than justice and healing, and that somehow we've made physical and spiritual hope that they're not part of the same team. We've made them options, kind of like on a Christian menu that we have to choose from. And one is humanitarianism and the other is missions. We've made them this either or choice. And the truth is, I believe the power is found in both. And that's what this book is about. It asks the question of what if we didn't have to choose? What if it really could be about and could do both? Because that's what I've seen throughout my life, as I've seen firsthand how the combination of meeting people's physical needs and spiritual needs is what truly transformed people. And I wanted to share that message with others, because that's really the work of World Help that I've been a part of for so many years. Our motto, if you will, at World Help is help for today and hope for tomorrow. And what we mean by that is that we believe in this work that we're doing around the world, that without things like food and clean water and medicines that our body needs, then faith can mean very little to people. But without that faith that truly feeds our souls, then everything else can be just a short-term fix. But right. It's when you focus on both body and soul, that's when true transformation happens in people's lives. And that's what I've seen over and over again all around the world.
Well, and I would suggest that that has been historically the pattern of authentic Christian ministry, is that, you know, it is missionaries. I just heard a message by Billy Kim, who preached in Atlanta recently. And Billy was talking about how in Korea, the missionaries came and they built schools and they built hospitals and they built orphanages and they shared the gospel. And the church in Korea now, in South Korea, is sending missionaries all around the world and enormously strong. In, you know, just a couple of hundred years, this has been a transformation because it was a both and thing.
Correct.
You know, they didn't go in and say, well, you know, some of us are going to do this and others are going to do that. Billy Graham's father-in-law was a missionary in China. He was a medical doctor. They built a hospital. They did all kinds of things to address the needs of the body. But as Dr. Bell used to say, almost everyone I have done surgery on is dead. Not because I operated on them, but because we all have to die. And so if all we do is address the needs of the body, it's a little like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But we have no credibility if there are horrible needs physically and we have the resources to address it. And we don't. We say, no, just let me tell you about Jesus. So I think it's wonderful that you are not only calling people to this with a book, but that you're calling people to this with your life and your ministry.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not that this has never been done well or right in the past. It's just too often it gets off track, I would argue.
I agree.
Because in my line of work, I, you know, the number of times I'm asked the question of, well, you know, if you come from the more evangelistic side, are you providing a Bible along with that work that you're doing? And then the opposite is true. You know, are you meeting their needs when you provide the Bible? So there's this divisiveness to it. And I agree with what you're saying. There's this great quote I have in the book by an African head of state who said, you can't do health care to dead people. You can't educate dead people. Mm-hmm. You can't minister to dead people. You've got to have them alive first. Amen. Another one of our partners said, hunger has no religion. And I think that's what I'm speaking to. There's a quick story I would share. This was in the very early years of World Health, and I think this really sets the tone for why we believe so strongly in this. But we were working in Eastern Europe at the time at this leading cancer hospital in the area where the top doctors in that area would go. And yet this hospital was surviving on absolutely nothing. They had no medicines. They had little bandages, resources, things that they need. People were literally sent here to die.
Yeah.
And on my first visit, I was there with my dad, and he's a cancer survivor. And so it was a really hard visit for him, not the place he wanted to be.
Right.
But we were there, and one of the top doctors is a man named Dr. Moxon, and he came up to my dad and asked my dad if we would help. And my dad promised that we would, and we kept our promise, and we were able to send over a few year period 13 ocean going containers full of medical supplies to this cancer hospital.
Praise God.
Cancer hospital number 62. And I'll remember I was able to be there when one of those shipments was delivered, and I literally saw medical professionals and doctors running out of procedures and surgeries and ripping open these boxes to pull out whatever they needed, because they were using like straws for tracheotomies.
Right.
They were washing out their latex gloves to use them the next day. So they were just ripping open these boxes to use right then. And the doctor came up to me and he put his hands on my shoulders. He said, young lady, I want you to give your father a message. He said, you are the first Americans to ever keep their promise. Mm. And then the best part of the story is a few years later and many shipments later, Dr. Moxon said to my dad, he said, at first, I did not accept your faith, but now I accept your faith. I have seen it in action.
Praise God.
And to me, that's the story of World Help. And that's really the story of the book, is when you meet people just like Jesus did in the Bible, mm-hmm. and meet them where they are in their physical needs. Then we have an opportunity. We say at World Help a lot that we are earning the right to be heard.
Yes.
And when you're meeting people in their darkest hour, you have to earn the right to be heard. And most likely that's helped meet their true physical needs in the moment.
Amen. One of the most famous and memorable stories of Jesus healing someone was the fellow who was lowered down through the roof by his friends.
Yes.
And Jesus said to him, my son, your sins are forgiven, which is not why they brought him there. You know, they brought him because he was paralyzed and they wanted to see that fixed. And Jesus instead said, your sins are forgiven. But then he went on, knowing the skepticism of the crowd and their failure to understand what he was all about. He said, in order that you may know mm-hmm. that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turned to the paralytic and said, I say to you, get up and walk.
Yeah.
And so the healing, as you said, that ministry is for the purpose of establishing the credibility so that people put their faith in the one who not only forgives our sins, but gives us eternal life.
So good. Such a great example. And I use a similar one in the Bible. I mean, in my book, found in the book of Mark, it's a familiar mm-hmm. story. We all know the woman with the bleeding disorder had suffered more than 12 years. And, you know, she goes just to reach out to touch Jesus. She's afraid she's going to get rebuked for doing that. And I love, I think it's Mark 5:34, where Jesus looks at her and says, leave with peace in your heart and free from your suffering.
Yes.
And I go back to that peace in your heart. I believe that's the Passion Translation, but peace in your heart and free from your suffering. And to me, that's the best example of what I'm talking about, and help and hope. And really my prayer for every person I encounter, and as Christ followers, every person we encounter, that we would leave them with peace in their heart and free from their suffering.
Amen. Now, I am grateful for your desire to see folks walking in balance regarding mm-hmm. the importance of both of these things. I often say in my teaching that Satan is a judo expert. He will use your momentum in whatever mm-hmm. you know direction you're going to throw you off balance, and you end up flat. He doesn't care if you're flat on your face or flat on your back. He just doesn't want you standing. We have to stand, Ephesians 6, against the enemy, knowing that our warfare is ultimately not about people. It's against spiritual forces. And if we understand that, then we need to understand how the adversary works. And he really does. The reason that a little guy who knows judo can beat the crud out of a big guy who doesn't is because all the power of that big guy is going to get added to mm-hmm. by the little guy who knows judo. So the little guy is going to use the strength and the force of the big guy in order to throw the big guy off balance. And as you said earlier in this conversation, missions historically has understood the importance of both. But organizations and individuals and movements have a tendency to get either in this direction or in that direction, but not holding on to both. We for years sponsored children through an organization that originally was very concerned not only about physical needs, but about eternity. And then we found out that that organization was using the money we were sending to provide one of the children we were sponsoring with an Islamic education. And I was horrified, and I contacted them and I said, is this correct? And they said, oh yes, that's the only way we can operate in that country. And I said, so you're teaching these children every day that this meal has been provided from Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet? And they said, well, yes, that's what we have to do. Well, I have instead supported an organization that when they were told, you have to support Hindu causes or else you can't stay in our country, they sadly, reluctantly left that country. Because if we cannot share the gospel, then the other work that we're doing is ultimately very short-sighted. But that is not the case in most places. It is possible to do both, and our aim should be to do both, and that's what World Help does.
Yeah. There's a lot there you just said. I think the thing I was thinking of, you know, while you were talking that I want to make sure I get in here is so much of the book is about the help and hope, like we've already talked about, and providing both.
Yes.
But the other thing that I touch on that I think maybe isn't talked a lot about or we haven't seen and is also the problem I see is that somehow in a lot of Christian circles, we have made missions or our definition of missions a choice. You know, it's reserved for the missions emphasis week at church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's reserved for the people who maybe have an interest in other cultures and an interest in traveling. It's reserved for the people that want to go on the mission trip. And I think that's where it's gotten a little off track as well, because to me, missions is not a choice. It's not reserved for just those people that I've pointed out. Missions should be an expression of our faith, the faith that we say we take so seriously, to be an expression of our faith for every single follower of Christ. And instead of being this trip we choose to go on, which is great, and I highly encourage people to do it, it should simply be how we live everywhere we are. And that's the other thing I really want to challenge people with in this book is, you know, not to pigeonhole missions for just a segment of people in our churches. This mm-hmm. is something we are all called to.
Amen. Amen. I think that's very, very important. And happily, there are some folks who get that. There are some people who are walking it out. And they understand wherever they are that they need to be serving both to meet physical needs and to point people to Jesus. D.L. Moody was approached by a guy this is 1800s, and the man said, you know, I'm thinking that I would like to be a missionary. And the guy who said it was the conductor on a train. He was up there as the conductor on the train. And this is back when trains were coal-fired. Moody said to him, what is the spiritual state of the man who shovels the coal? And the guy said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, then you'd be no good on the mission field. Because he said, you're standing next to this guy day after day, and you haven't even inquired of his spiritual condition. If you are no good here, you will be no good over there.
Oh, gosh. And
that goes back to what you're saying in terms of wherever you are. You're supposed to be on mission. It's not something certain people go somewhere else to do.
That's right. That's right. So good. So good.
Well, now, do you have advice for people or churches who are looking for next steps after reading your book, both?
Yeah. So in the last chapter of my book, I'm honest that this looks different for different people, and everybody's coming at this, I think, from a different angle. And you've expressed that so well. There's people that are already doing this so well, but I kind of give some practical steps in the last chapter for individuals who are challenged by this, as well as churches. And, mm-hmm. Not to selfishly push World Help, but one of the steps I put in the book is if you don't have your people, find your people. And a great way to do that is through World Help. Because I think one of the things we do so well is breaking down the overwhelming needs of the world to practical ways that you can get involved. Mm-hmm. Because I think most people, even in my line of work, I feel this way. And I think most people feel the same, that every day it feels like we wake up to a new crisis in the world.
Yep.
We can barely absorb one before we're hit with another. And mm-hmm. so the danger in that is you get overwhelmed, you tune out, you think anything I can do is a drop in the bucket. and, you know, we don't do anything. And I've always loved the Mother Teresa quote that if I look at the masses, I will never act. But if I look at the one, I will.
Amen.
And that's I had a lesson in that very early on. And one of those first trips with my dad, and I learned that I can make, you know, God's not calling me to save the whole world. You know, but God will put people in my path, one person in my path, and I can make a difference for them.
Amen.
And that's what I think World Help does a great job with. You know, if there's a crisis in the world, you can bet that we are there on the front lines. But we're going to give you a really practical way to meet those needs for one person with exactly what we've been saying, help and hope. You know, one of the big crises that we're working on right now is the refugee crisis and the war in Ukraine and mm-hmm. the refugees in the bordering countries and the displaced people in Ukraine. You know, such an overwhelming crisis. And yet for a gift of $35, you can help, you know, one of those people for a week with the food and shelter and things they need until they can once again go home. That's a very practical way to get involved. We have child sponsorship, like you've already talked about. Mm-hmm. That's a very practical way to get involved and to provide this help and hope for one person.
Amen. My wife and I have run a children's home for over 30 years here in Tennessee, wow. serving kids from all over the country. And one of the things yeah. that thrilled me was to have them the last several years now doing Operation Christmas Child with Samaritan's Purse.
Yes.
And
yes.
To have these children who work to earn what we call ranch bucks by memorizing scripture, doing chores, that kind of thing, then turning around and spending their ranch bucks instead of on themselves to fill these Christmas boxes for children overseas. And for folks to know that, for instance, the medicine needed to treat those with leprosy, very inexpensive, but somebody's got to pay for it. The price of getting water filters to people who are suffering so horribly because there's no clean water. The water filters can be gotten quite inexpensively and gotten to them. And but people have got to realize I can do something about that. I can buy mosquito netting and all of these kinds of things that your organization and others offer as options give people finally a sense of hope and empowerment. And I want to add one more thing. We're not in this on our own hoping God will notice. We can go to the Lord every day and say, Lord, open my eyes to see the needs around me. Mm-hmm. Burden my heart with the people you want me to help, the things you want me to do, the organizations that I should support. And God isn't going to say, sorry, I'm too busy. He's going to show you. He will guide you. And that's how you ended up doing what you're doing.
That's right. That's right. And just being open to how God was leading. And my dad's passion became my passion. And, you know, his heart for the world became my heart for the world. You know, that famous quote of God, break my heart with the things that break yours. Mm-hmm. That quote was preached into me my whole life, but it is so, so very true.
Praise God.
But yeah, I, you know, you're making me think of when my son, who's now grown, when he was little, he came into my office and I was doing some work and I was, I think, editing a video or something for World Help. And it was breaking down, you know, how much it costs to provide one person with clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. And he came in and I didn't even think he was paying attention. And he heard, he's like, Mom, is that all it takes to make a difference? Mm-hmm. He runs to his room, grabs his piggy bank, you know, and brings me back all this money because even as a child, he could realize like, that's something that I can do.
Amen.
And I think people are surprised, you know, with the overwhelming needs of the world, of that there are so many practical ways to get involved, from providing a Bible to someone who has no access to a Bible. You know, we do a lot of work in persecuted countries around mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. you know, from providing a Bible to someone like that to access to clean water.
Yes.
So many ways to make a difference.
Well, Noelle, I'm very grateful for the work that you're doing. I appreciate your book. It is both living outside the either or of your faith. And folks, pray for Noelle as she leads this organization. Pray for the organization and the other people who work with her. And ask the Lord to show you what he would have you to do. Noelle, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ.
If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.